Tonight, turn with us to the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and beginning at verse number 4. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 4. And here we have the second commandment, one of the longest of the commandments. And we notice here, beginning at verse number 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Verse 6, "And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." I'm encouraged by the thousands. The thousands that love Him and keep His commandments. So many times we talk about a remnant and we talk about the few. But oh, God has a people. There's a people all around this world who love Him and they keep His commandments. In the Near East, it was common for people to make and use representations of their various gods. And they used them to prop up their worship. To prop up their worship. Ancient Israel was forbidden, absolutely forbidden, from using idols, from using anything that would symbolize or make an image of God or anything about God. They were forbidden in doing this. And friends, there's no aspect of creation that can stand in for Jehovah God. There's no statue, there's no image, there's no picture. There's nothing that can stand in for God. Do you understand what I'm saying? With the second commandment, we have a prohibition to polytheism. The second commandment forbids idolatry. And we are once again reminded that Israel is getting ready to go into a land wholly given over to the worship of images. I would say dumbfounded when I went to Israel and went there with a Messianic Jew, and he began to point out in many of the ruins the different idols and places of worship and how that Israel had done exactly what God told them not to do, and made images and idols. Deuteronomy 16:22 says, "Neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth." Don't set up an image. That's not what I'm saying. Don't get upset with me. Don't get mad with me. I'm reading the Word of Almighty God. This is God's Word. What the Bible says. This commandment forbids all worship of graven images to aid in any kind of worship. Man wants something that he can look at, touch, do something with. I believe that images attack the freedom and sovereignty of God. Images attack the freedom and the sovereignty of God. There has been, there is, and there always will be those who seek to make the incomprehensible comprehensible. There are things that you and I do not know, we will not know, we cannot know until we get to heaven. That's just the way that it is. And Job says, chapter 38 and verse number 4, where wast thou? And God is speaking, he's writing here by inspiration what God had given him. The Lord is answering Job in verse number 4, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Where were you at? Where were you at? Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? I'm not a carpenter, but I have watched the carpenter take the line, the chalk line, and stretch it and then pop a line right where he was going to do something. Where were you? Job? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? I mean, how's this earth hang there? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof when the morning stars sang together? And we could go on and on. God's telling Job, I laid it down. You must get rid of your pride, and you must look to the Creator of all things. And this speaks of the incomprehensibility. We cannot comprehend it. We might want to, we might try, but we can't. Job 11:7 says, canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty to perfection? Can you search and find out God? You may get a knowledge of God, but you're not going to find out everything about God. Forget it. If you were as smart as God, we wouldn't need God. True. Job 35 in verse 7 says this. If thou be righteous, what givest thou him, or what receiveth he of thine hand? What do you give to God that he doesn't already have? What do you give to him that he doesn't already have? Or what do you receive that he doesn't give? He gives. All good gifts come from above. Romans 11:33 speaks of the riches of God. Romans 11 and verse 33. And in looking at this, we'll go past verse 33, but it says, O depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? That's what God is saying to Job. Now look at this. Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. It's all of God. Salvation's all of the Lord. It's all of Him. Those who make and worship an idol God do so they can control and contain God. But my God, Jehovah God, cannot be controlled, nor can He be contained. It's an impossibility. He cannot be limited in any way whatsoever. Isaiah 42 and verse number 8 says, I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I will not give my glory to another. I will not give my praise to a graven image. Will not do it. Isaiah 48 and verse number 11. Isaiah 48 and verse number 11. It says, for mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. No matter what that is, or who that is, or what object that is, he will not give his glory to another. He will not do it. Some people carry their God in their purse. Some people put their God on their dash. When I was growing up, all along the coast, people had St. Christopher stuck up on their dash. He rode everywhere they went. Now, I'm glad that those who are stuck out in the snow, when it snows up in the Alps, have St. Bernard to come and help. But there was a real fellow named, he was named St. Bernard. There's a hospital in Jonesboro, St. Bernard. But my God will not be limited in any way whatsoever, as we see here. He cannot be. You can control an idol. Well, that's like putting one on your dash or carrying one with you. And I'm not speaking about any particular religion or anything. I'm preaching to you what the Bible says. I grew up with them all around me. My band director, Mr. Beveren, he and I were friends, and before I was saved and after I was saved, we were friends. And we would go to Biloxi, where his mom and dad had a little community grocery store. And we would drive down the beach and we would pass St. Michael's, and he'd do the sign of the cross. And sometimes I thought he was about to wreck. But he would not pass that church coming or going without doing the sign. That was his way of giving honor. He did that. I was saved, and after I came to the Lord, I went to his house, and he and Miss Beveren sitting there, and as little as I knew, I still knew I needed to tell him. And I opened the Bible to them. Found out she had been saved young, early in life, but he was not. But I gave him the gospel. Gave him the gospel. Told him of Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That he's the only hope that man can have. When man controls his God, man himself becomes his God. Because he's controlling his God. He becomes his own God. Now that's a dangerous thing. That's a dangerous thing. And that carries us back over to Romans chapter 1 and beginning at verse 21. Forgetting the sovereignty of God and who He really is causes us to get into some dangerous situations. And we look here in Romans chapter 1 and beginning there at verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. God had given a knowledge. And they knew of God and knew about God, and He had given them types and shadows. They knew, but they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Imagination causes lots of things to go awry. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, the glory of the incorruptible God, into an image made like to corruptible man. Made images. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The worship of idols leads to the worship of man, and the worship of man leads to lust and all types of corruption. That's how it works. Much could be said about this. These actions lead man to defile himself and to get a spirit within him that is not right. And I believe that spirit of defying and defiling, defying God and defiling God's truth, leads to delusion. Because they're trusting in an idol. We go back to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And verses 3 and 4. Where the Bible says, let no man deceive you. Now there's a lot of deception going on today. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We see that today. There's a falling away from the truth. And a whole message could be preached on that very thought. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now there's a falling away first. And then that man of sin is going to be revealed. That's what the Bible says. Who opposes? He opposes, who opposeth, and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Will there be an image of the beast? The Bible says it in the Revelation. There'll be an image. And they'll worship that image as a way of worshiping Him. God said, no images, no idols. But this is a beast. And we have the Antichrist, we have the false prophet, and all of these that have come in. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now what keeps everything from absolutely falling apart at this very hour in which we live? Verse 6, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. You know what's withholding? The Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who's keeping things in check until he be taken out of the way. And then what happens? Well, the mystery of iniquity that's already working. Verse 7, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Only he that now hinders, it's an old English word, it's a good word, he that now hinders will hinder until he's taken out of the way. When is he taken out of the way? When I am taken out of the way. When the believers are raptured, whenever we're taken out of the way, he goes with us. He goes with us. That's what the Bible is teaching here. And verse 10 says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they might be saved. They don't want the truth. They worship their idols and their gods. The Bible says in verse 11, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Boy, we've got people believing the lie right now. People are just falling for anything. It's as though they've lost their mind. But it's because they're deluded through this delusion. Now, verse number 12, and listen to me closely. The Bible says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those that believe not the truth are doomed and damned to a devil's hell. That's what the Bible says. Professed Christians seek to contain God. They want to put Him in a box of their own making. They want to control Him. They say, now God, we know what Your Word says, but we will not allow You to do that here. We're in control. And we don't care what Your Word says. I've pastored for 35 years, Brother Wayne. I've been in some tough deacons meetings. I've been in some tough spots. And I never will forget a meeting in which one of the men in that meeting said, I don't care what the Word of God says, we're not doing it that way. Boy, that's dangerous. Man wanting to be in control. Sad thing. Psalm 50, verse 21 says, Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such and one as thyself. You thought I was like you. And I believe we could say that God would say, you're mistaken. I'm not like you. I'm God. But man wants to control God and say, look, I don't care what your Bible says, what the Word of God says, if I want to do it different, that's the way we're going to do it. Dear friends, we ought to always follow the Word of God. This church is a Bible-believing Baptist church. The woe of God, and listen, when it says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, I've thought about that. I don't want to learn what that woe means. Amen. Don't ever get away from preaching the Bible, preaching the truth. You don't want that woe. Some folks make a mental image. They limit God. They tell Him what He can do, tell Him what He can't do. They want to give Him permission to do. Oh, dear friend, you can't do that. God's God. Amen? He's God. The making of an image, physically or mentally, attacks the majesty and the sovereignty of an almighty God, our God, Jehovah God. Nothing can compare to Jehovah. There's no image, there's no likeness, there's nothing that can compare to Him. Nothing. Isaiah 43, in verse number 10. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10, where the Bible says, "You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." That's pretty strong, isn't it? "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you." I've declared, I've showed. What does it say here? "When there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" Who will hinder me? Pretty strong, isn't it? It's mighty. We serve a mighty God. Our God is not limited. He will not be controlled by man or force or any type of likeness. He will not. We have the picture of His glory and holiness and the might of Him in Isaiah 6, and He's so holy, so pure, so perfect, complete perfection. There in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah cried, Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm nothing. Man of unclean lips. Dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When you really see how great God is, you know that you're unworthy of His love, of His grace, His mercy. And you know there's no way you can make an image that would comprehend the incomprehensible. It's an impossibility. But man, by nature, is incurably religious. We have this thing about wanting something to hold on to. I mean, that's part of mankind. Incurably religious. That's why many groups follow a man, because they've got to have a man that they can follow. Am I making sense? They like religion. And man is so religious that he is an idolater by nature. An idolater by nature. Let's go back to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17 and verse number 24. Acts 17, verse number 24. The Bible says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Now, I wish we had time to talk about this unknown God. They had a temple to this unknown God. They worshiped Him. And Paul said, I know who He is. I know who the unknown God is. Neither, verse 25, Acts 17, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God's in control. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. You can't make God into an image. It's an impossibility. But man wants to localize God. Man wants to place Him in time and in space, so he makes pictures and statues and other images of God. He wants to localize God. But God is not localized. He refuses to be. Man often prays to the image instead of God. We don't worship images, but they pray to them. I've seen them. I go on board the ship and sometimes, and more times than I would like to say, but they come to me and say, do you have a rosary? And I said, and I know what they want it for. They say, we can't pray without it. I said, oh, yes, you can. You don't need to do that. And I said, listen, Mary will not save you. Only Jesus Christ will save you. I'm not being unkind. If I didn't love them, I wouldn't tell them. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. I mean, I've heard that all my life. Denise and I have heard it. I mean, it's just, the coast is a Catholic area. I'm not against people, but I am against religion. Religion never saved anybody. Christ saves. Salvation is not in a church, it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood, died for us, was buried, and rose again the third day. During the hunting season down home, hunters offer up prayers to St. Hubert. He was one of the priests who loved to hunt. And so, after he died, they canonized him, made him a saint. Now, St. Hubert is the saint, the patron saint of hunters. He died on the 30th of May, 727. Can he hear their prayers? No. He did. If peradventure God granted repentance and faith to him, then he's in heaven. But he's not listening to prayers. Amen? But most probably he's not. I don't know. But how can he hear any prayers? Yet men love to have an image of him, and down on the coast, hunters have pictures of St. Hubert. And they pray to St. Hubert. to give them a good hunt. I think that's wrong. I know that's wrong. It's not right. Psalm 34 and verse number 15. Psalm 34, verse number 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. His eyes are open to the righteous. His ears hear our cry. Who do we need to pray to? I'm asking you. The Bible never tells us to pray to anyone other than to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. To pray in Jesus' name. That's what we are to do. And there are other scriptures that deal with this very thing. We'll not labor the point. But keep in mind that it is absolutely impossible to make an image of Almighty God or an image of His Son, who is God, for the Bible plainly teaches that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. When I pray, I am to pray in spirit and in truth. I can pray going down the highway. I'll never forget going down I-40 between Memphis and BB. Of course, it wasn't on 40 then. I was going to get off at Lonoke and go up toward BB. And it was late at night, and I'd turned on a station. I'd picked up a station. I liked AM, and I picked up a station somewhere out to a WBAP out of Texas. And there's an evangelist on there, and he said, "Wherever you are, whatever you're doing," he said, "close your eyes and say this prayer." I said, "No, sir. I'm not going to do it." I'll tell you what, I can pray. The Bible says watch and pray. I decided that night I would. Thought that'd be a lot safer than close my eyes and bow my head there on I-40. I probably wouldn't be here tonight if I had it. But we worship Him in spirit and in truth. We do that. That's what the Bible teaches. John 1:18 tells us, "No man hath seen God at any time." How can you make an image of God whom we have not seen? Now, man wants to have something to help him worship God. He wants something to touch. He wants something to see. He wants something to pray to. What we need to see is that which is invisible. We pray to Him who gives us the eye of faith to see the truth. We see the truth through His Word. He speaks to us through His Word. We worship God in spirit. Romans 8 and verse number 9, the Bible says there in Romans 8 and verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh." In other words, you've been saved. There's a part of you that is saved. "They that are in the flesh cannot please God," but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in you. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." Now, there are those who say, "Well, you get saved, then you get the Spirit." No, no, no. No, no, no. When you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, He, the Holy Spirit, is the one who initiated the work. He's the one who has to woo and draw you. Spirit of God does a work of regeneration. There are those who agree with that. But the Bible says differently. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." That spiritual circumcision, not made with hands, happened by the Spirit of Almighty God. That's what we see here. Now we're told that we do not need any images or pictures to help us worship. Why? Because the child of God walks by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We walk by faith and not by sight. Are you walking by faith? Walk by faith. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord God. A statue or an image does not help us truly worship God. I believe it detracts from worship. Because we look to an object and not to God who is Spirit. We look to that object. We have to be somewhere where that object is. No, God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. We don't have to wait till we get to that object. Amen? We don't. We don't have to do that. Remember the brazen serpent? And they put it up on the pole, and those that looked, they did what? They lived. But people began to do something. They began to worship that serpent. They made it into an image. They did. They made it into an image. And because of that, good King Hezekiah break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. He said, "That'll end that." He just broke it all up and did away with it. Because he wanted them to look to God, not to a brazen serpent, to an image. Why do we have this prohibition? That we're not to have idols. Why do we have it? The prohibition is given in verse number 4 of Exodus 20, and the reason for the prohibition is given in verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt not bow down. Thou shalt not make any image. Notice what it says. We look at these verses here. In verses 5 and 6, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, talking about images, idols, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the children, or the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. That's the reason. Don't bow down. He is the Lord God. He wants you to worship Him in spirit and in truth. He wants to have mercy upon your family. God hates idol worship. Anything that stands between you and God and the worship of God can become and does become an idol. Sunday, we call the Christian Sabbath. They met on the first day of the week. The early church did. It's when we meet for regular services. It is no longer honored in many places. Everything and anything gets in the way of worship of God. Fishing, boating, ball games. They become the idol. We're to have no idol. I want to remind you tonight that our God is a jealous God. He wants our worship. He wants our praise. He wants our adoration. He does. It's sad to say, but it's true. Idol worship is not of God. It is not of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. The Bible says, "What say I then? That the idol is anything? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with them." Now that's strong, but again, all I'm doing is delivering the message. I delivered the Daily Herald when I was a young fella. It was a paper on the coast, and Mr. Ruderman, I remember he lived right on the beach down there in Ocean Springs, and I rode down that long driveway on my swing bicycle. And handed him the paper before I could get turned around. He read the headline. He said, "This paper, I'm telling you right now, I don't like the paper. I don't like this headline. I don't like it." I said, "Look, Mr. Ruderman, I don't write it. I don't print it. All I do is deliver it." And I feel that way today. I didn't write it. I didn't print it. All I do is deliver it. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11. "But now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, fighting all the time, or a drunkard, or extortioner, taking money off folk, with such an one know not to eat." Idolatry is lumped right in there with it. Here's what I want you to get out of this tonight. We worship God in spirit and in truth. Idols will keep us from worshiping the true and living God. God is a spirit. They that worship Him how? In spirit and in truth. But if you have not Him, you have not the Spirit. If you don't have Christ, that's because you don't have the Spirit. The Spirit of God, living, dwelling, working in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You may think that you were saved, but you've come to realize, no, I'm not. You may have come to realize tonight that Christ is the only answer, and you would look to Him and Him alone for salvation. Don't be an idolater, looking to works and idols and other things. And the idols that you have in your life need to be torn down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Brother Wayne.